Everybody in this nation understands that we have to get the Republican House to act on common sense immigration reform so 11 million people can enter our democracy and join in the fullness of our economy. And we are not going to stop our movement building on immigrant justice or economic justice until we win.
Mary Kay Henry, we want to thank you for being with us, president of SEIU, Service Employees International Union. Thanks for joining us from the Bay Area. And Ashona Osborne from Pittsburgh, working at Wendy's, had also worked at McDonald's, arrested Thursday during the fast food worker strikes there. Over 400 people were arrested across the United States. That does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Mate, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Masood, Rabbi Karen.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. Right after this, it will be Positively Revolting.
Know your candidates for the 2014 KBOO Board of Directors.
On-air candidate forums will take place Monday through Friday, September 8th through the 12th, from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on Morning Talk Radio.
Listen in to KBOO every weekday morning, September 8th, through the 12th for the Board of Directors candidate forums, and call in with your questions.
KBOO Community Radio and Sante Aesthetics and Wellness are proud to co-sponsor A Touch of Portland 2014. The event takes place Sunday, September 7th, and is a great way to detox after a long summer. Whether you're getting back from Labor Day weekend or decompressing from the burn, this is a great way to stay healthy through dance, foods, and multiple healing modalities. That's A Touch of Portland, Sunday, September 7th at Northwest 17th and Davis. Go to kboo.fm/touchofportland for more information on this event.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world. Cast your vote.
Three colors, and we say thank you with the upper creature.
Good morning,
Portland.
Good morning.
You are listening to Positively Revolting Talk Radio. I'm Lynn.
I'm Ani.
And we're back from a summer vacation. The first thing I wanted to do was take a little shout out to that. Our theme song is Chumbawamba, and our good friend Dambert Nobacon lives in Twisp,
Washington, and really the folks in TWSP had a really hard time with fire this summer, so we wanted to do a little shout out to Danbert and hope he's doing okay.
Hello, TWSP.
Hello, TWSP, Washington.
Fire's a problem. It's been an interesting summer for sure, and weather extremes. But that's not what we're talking about today.
Mm-mm.
No,
but
we're going to switch gears now.
Yeah.
Good morning. Good morning. It's about 5 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning, and we are back from summer vacation. It's the first summer vacation I've taken in 20 years. And a fine time it was to go and refresh. And even though Lynn and I may have taken the summer off, what we noticed is, in fact, the war on women did not
slow down second
for the summer. And so we thought that as we rejoin you in the community of airwaves, we would turn our attentions once more to the infantilization, the repression, the puritanism that is the war against women, the war on women, brought to you by arch conservatives, by the religious right, basically, let's just say fine combinations of those forces, and how it's been manifesting around us. We would also love to hear from you with your favorite examples of, really where this fight is going and what we can do about it to reclaim power and to say, absolutely not, we are not going back in a box. We demand access to safe and legal abortion procedures, as well as contraceptive care. We own our
healthcare
own sexuality.
Healthcare in general, we would like. Thank you.
Indeed. And to be in control of our bodies and how we would like to be in them, to live in them, because in fact, they are ours, right?
Yep.
So that's where we want to focus our attention this morning. There's a couple of things right off the bat that kind of got me going. I do want to say, if you, dear listener, would like to join in with your comments, with your own stories of the summer, be they stories from the media or stories from your own personal lives, that's always good too. You can give us a ring at 503-231-8187.
Or you may contact us at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com or Positively Revolting on Facebook as well. We are all there.
It's true. There's a news program on Fox earlier this week. Fox and Friends had an appearance of some women, some hosts of an internet video show called Politichicks, who said,
I'm sorry.
I know, help me. They are conservative women, and they told Fox News on Tuesday that feminism was dangerous because it sexualized women.
Danger!
It sexualized women, and it made them afraid to be stay-at-home moms. Anna Kuiman was the host of the Fox and Friends show, and the host of Politichicks explained that liberal women are intolerant. They claim that they're feminists, says Anne Marie Morell, but what they actually are, they are sexualists. It has nothing to do with empowering women anymore.
Another news, a new Fox term. I love it. Sexualists.
Well, this
I
isn't
want a t-shirt.
This isn't a Fox term. This is, in fact, a Politichicks
term. Oh,
Politichicks.
Okay.
And the fact that there's a conservative group of women calling themselves Politichicks, my head already spins. All right. So we earn the right to vote. We have equality in the workplace, Anne Marie Morell continues. She said, if we don't, we can fight that on a one-on-one basis. But everything there about now, there being feminists, is kind of about from the head down. It has nothing to do with women's brains or their hearts. Now, I just want to point out the ludicrousity.
Heart is below your head, isn't it?
Well, from the head down. I think that's the entire body, right? From the head, start there and work your way down.
Yeah, you got a point there.
Okay, well.
And it's not just on your head.
It has nothing to do with women's brains or hearts, which I would have to say are included in the head down. Kuiman suggested that the left was tolerant as long as you agreed with them 100%. Women don't want to be objectified, and what the feminist movement has successfully done is really sexualized women instead of feminizing women, Politichick's host, Dr. Gina Luden, asserted. So we're here for a new brand of feminism, saying it's time to drop the shackles of old feminism. It's time for women who really want to be women, who want to be feminine, who want to be what God designed us to be.
A baby machine.
She doesn't bother saying what God might have designed us to be.
And we're just supposed to know that, I guess. It's sort of a given. Well, it's kind of a given.
I will go on, because this article, it's a little unbelievable. The article is called Fox News Guests, Feminists Aren't Being What God Designed Them to Be. It's by Dave Edwards. It was put out on Tuesday, published in Raw Story. So just to get back to the article for another moment, Morrell adds, They claim that we put women back into the 50s where women stayed home and took care of their children. I say that what they're doing, that's feminists, they are like cave women waiting for a caveman to bonk them on the head and drag them into the cave by their hair. That's who they are. They're the ones putting us back in the Stone Ages.
Wow. You know, if I was typing, I would have all those asterisks and
things
going on, because it almost, which speechless is not good for radio, but that that's pretty stunning.
What can you do with that? Feminists, we're like cave women waiting for a caveman to bonk us on the head. I don't know. I don't feel like I'm waiting for a caveman to bonk me on the head. I'm just saying. They say they want less government in their lives. They want to make their own decisions. They want freedom to choose for their children, their families. That's what women really want. They also want real men. We love real men. We absolutely love them. Then Morrell exclaims, "Stop shaving, men." I don't even know, right?
No, wait.
I don't
even know. Are we shaving the men? Is that the problem?
It just reminds me of Ren and Stimpy's yak shaving day, but that's a whole nother thing. Politichick's host Morgan Brittany argued that feminists had created a stigma that made modern women ashamed to stay home with their children.
If they wanted to, they can't, because they can't afford it, because they have to work, because people have to have at least two jobs to support a family these days. Unless, of course, you're in a very high percentage of the population.
Of the earning?
Of the earning population, yes. Or inherited population, unless you've...
The article concludes, I'll just go ahead and throw in this last line. Luden concludes by saying, we want no more of this feminist politicizing our bodies and what happens in our bedrooms. That's all that the feminist movement has successfully done, and we're here to battle back, and we say... We know what women really want.
You know, the right wing has an interesting way of they have toned projection down to a fine art.
Yes, I'd have to say so.
that is a textbook, that is a fabulous example of projection. If you wanted to know what that is, that psychological issue is about, that's it. Hector Projector.
Wait, I'm still just baffled about the waiting for the caveman to bonk me over the head and drag me into my cave.
It brought color to your cheeks, Audie.
It did. There's so much to say about that. I could go on, but I won't. 503-231-8187 is the number to call this morning if you would like to join us on the air. And I do also want to mention another article we'll get to soon is from Texas earlier this week about
a lot of going on in Texas.
Yes. This is an article that really brings to mind scenes from The Handmaid's Tale. There's a high school in Dallas. I believe it was Dallas. That a custodian found apparently a miscarried fetus in a bathroom stall. And how was this dealt with?
Yeah.
SWAT teams. Police swarmed the school, including a helicopter circling overhead for reasons.
They got to use these toys somewhere.
I can't
even
fathom.
They have all these toys to use and no real reason to. What really got me about this, didn't it, you, that a happy ending is when if she had just gone to full term and given this,
right,
then so everything would be okay and she would not have broken the law.
Well, there's so much about this. I mean, first of all, a miscarriage is not against the law. A miscarriage is, in fact, a medical happening. It is
one. Yes.
One. It is actually statistically reasonable to assume that most pregnancies end in miscarriage in the first 6 weeks. Most of those pregnancies are never actually known to exist in the first place. It's an implantation that doesn't quite take, and then a woman has basically a heavy period. Welcome to it. This is not uncommon. A significant portion of pregnancy ends in miscarriage through the 12th week, and in those somewhat later miscarriages, then, yeah, chances are really good the woman does know that she's having a miscarriage. Yes, you may want medical follow-up. Sometimes that is important. Sometimes not. It kind of depends, you know, right, on your culture. It didn't used to be the thing that you would run to your doctor for an early miscarriage. But, you know, now in this country it is. Okay, fine.
She could have avoided criminal charges if she had just taken advantage of the baby Moses laws.
So, Alan Elliott, first of all, again, just to say, a woman having a miscarriage is not a crime. Yet, we're getting into The Handmaid's Tale again. But there was this assumption that something had gone horribly, horribly awry, and that there was some girl out there who was basically a baby killer, leaving a dead baby in the bathroom and wandering blithely on, and that the cops are swarming looking for this, you know, monster. And it boggles my mind. There's no detail as to the gestational length of the fetus that was found. There's the hoopla when you check into any of the articles and you see any of the news report videos of cops carrying out a box containing said fetus and putting it solemnly in the back of an ambulance to be taken to the morgue. It's already baffling in at least three different ways. But then we get the quote that Lynn was just talking about. Alan Elliott of the Baby Moses Dallas organization explained that the mother, and I'd like to point out, not a mother, a woman who happened to have been pregnant, different. The mother, he says, could have avoided any criminal charges if she had taken advantage of the Baby Moses law by carrying the child to term and then dropping it off safely at a site like a fire station.
In a reed basket, probably.
I think they actually have a little stack of them waiting by the door. And they have like little plastic rushes that you can stick them in. Anyway,
let's
talk to a listener, shall we?
Yes, shall we? Sunny.
Hello.
Good morning, Sunny.
I just have to say, well, yesterday I turned to my employer and I couldn't help but say to him, men, because we'd been watching TV and we saw men punching each other in faces and we saw men chasing each other up and down parking lots and we saw men yelling about things and men talking about things and men buying things and men. And, you know, really, I just say, please, with what you're bringing forward, oh, the way to deal with a traumatized young person, young woman who's given birth to a child who's dead and all of the implications right. around that, oh, let's traumatize them further. Oh, let's patriarchy, let's always pull out a missile for something. That's the answer. Let's get a missile on it.
Yeah, right. That's
but
I mean,
anyway, we need evening talk radio, and you ladies should do it, or some other ladies, but we need to get women's voices on the air, and we need to get whole perspective out there desperately, quickly.
We do need to get more perspective out there. It's absolutely true.
Evening talk radio. I think KBOO evening talk radio, if you can get a slot, maybe you two or some other women, not me, I'm too incendiary, but some other women that, you know, an hour or two every night or every other night where you can tune in and get some whole vision because, you know, anyway, that's all I have to say.
Okay, well,
you can also listen to
there's a lot of women who do talk radio in the morning, and then you can listen to it in the evening if you go to the archives on the website at this point.
That's true.
That can be done.
That's true.
I'm just saying.
Thank you very much for your call,
but thank
Sunny.
You, Sunny.
And 503-231-8187 is the number to call. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And we are here positively revolting as ever after our 3-month sojourn of wandering the globe. Okay. Well, we didn't actually wander the globe. I wandered parts of it. It was a very small part.
You got to Mexico.
I lived in Mexico for 3 months. It was a fabulous thing. And interesting, you know, just in terms of gender politics.
I was going to ask about, because you really got to be there enough to, I mean, I've, in my short times there, absorbed some of it, and
I'm still integrating.
Yeah.
It's just, it's different. You know, different cultures are different.
So they say.
I'm integrating.
Why are they not all American? I just don't know. Sorry, that was a slam.
Oh, dear God.
And I also, my comment to Sunny, too, is I'm not interested in male bashing because so far that has not been our problem. Part of the, it has to do with a person's mindset no matter what their gender is.
True that. And it's also, it's really, women, I have to say, are a huge part of keeping each other down. There's that, the role of making sure you're enculturating your daughter to act right, do right, think right. And that is often some of the more repressive forces in one's life. That's what we do to ourselves and each other.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, men in our society, sure, they play a role, but also the authority, right? Swarms of cops in a high school.
I know.
Because there was a fetus found in a bathroom stall. Right. I don't even... Where do I go with that? I know. Let's take another caller. Also, just to let you know, again, you can get a hold of us as well on Facebook. You can leave your questions or comments on Positively Revolting's page. They're on Facebook. You can like us at Positively Revolting on Facebook. You can also email us at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. And good morning, Lori. You're on the air.
Yeah, I don't think you meant it this way, but the implication was that the only reason women would go to work and have careers is because they don't have enough money. I mean, and there are plenty of reasons why women should fulfill themselves to the extent that they're capable as
Oh, absolutely,
human beings,
absolutely.
Whether
but
they're desperate for money or not. And
but
so
economically, that is those are the facts these days.
It may be, but it doesn't matter whether it's for that reason or what reason it's for. We have a 52% divorce rate, at least, and it's a good idea for women to know how to take care of themselves.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
Situation is.
Couldn't agree with you more.
and to do something with themselves. I mean, you're a pretty vapid human being if you don't develop your potential and get a chance. And I'm really glad you brought up the thing about women holding back women. I know in my own life I got much more backing and encouragement from my father and the men in my life than I did from women for the most part, and was able to get an extensive education and a career. So
in my adopted family, that was true for me as well. My father was more encouraging than my mother, who really was all about being interested in me providing grandchildren and staying at home and being the home ec goddess of cooking and sewing, which, let's just say, I was never really cut out to be. Not me.
I know with my own daughter too, her father, he really thought she should be an engineer, and she would go, "What? You know?" And he said, "Well, do one thing for me. Apply to engineering school. You don't have to go. I just want you to know that you could have done it." And she did, and was accepted. She did want to go, but she said, "Gee, that he's right. I really did like the way that felt."
Oh, that's so, very sweet.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to say there's a whole lot of reasons.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Okay.
Thanks for your comment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, further on down the line in Texas.
Carry on then, Lynn. What about Texas?
Well, they have, of course, done away with most. I don't know if there are any abortion providers left in Texas. And at the day that this happened, when large parts of the state are without abortion providers. Women who are already struggling to pay rent and pay food on the table and put food on their families, as they say, now travel hundreds of miles to obtain abortion care. For many, the obstacles will be too burdensome to overcome. For an example, a woman in Rio Grande Valley showed up for her appointment the day the law took effect and was devastated to learn that she could not have an abortion in her area. She was happily married with several children, but could not afford another. In tears, she said she did not have enough money to travel north and had no choice but to carry the pregnancy to term. Other women have resorted once again to coat hangers, self-inducing abortion, and by getting pills from across the border in Mexico.
Yeah. So, again, the right to have safe, accessible, legal abortion is absolutely threatened. It's being undermined state by state. It's being undermined by lack of access.
Right.
The laws may overall say that we have the ability to procure an abortion, but if you shut down all the clinics and chase away all the doctors, then there's not really the access to actually having that medical procedure, which is in fact one of the safest medical procedures ever, right? Safer than a tonsillectomy, statistically speaking.
Safer than giving birth, dare I say.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So there's so much to say. What do you have to say? 503-231-8187, the number to call. You can join us this morning on the air with your questions, with your comments. Janice, good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
How you doing, Janice?
Good, thanks. I'm just on my way to work, you know. I would rather have met some great man, real man.
A caveman who could bonk you on the head, perhaps.
Yes, who would have bonked me on the head and taken me to a cave. I can't believe I forgot to do that.
What were you thinking?
I know.
Better luck next time.
Yeah, one of the things I wanted to say, which frustrates me so much, is also the complete hypocrisy of the right. That these women, one of them being a doctor, although I don't know what kind of doctor, who can sit on that couch and talk about feminism, when without feminism, not one of them would have been sitting on that couch, and not that woman would not have been a doctor.
I am so glad you mentioned that. That was one of the things that really was glaring to me, and I'm very glad to hear you bring that up.
I know. It's like one of the things that drives me crazy about libertarians and the right is you don't enjoy anything in this country that wasn't fought and bled for, that, you know,
right,
somebody somewhere did not die, go to prison, get the crap beat out of them, whatever, not clean air, not clean water, not safe jobs, not, you know, health, nothing. I mean, there's nothing you enjoy that didn't have government intervention.
Right.
And somebody's blood behind it. So that really, really makes me angry. I mean, I just scream in frustration. I'm just like, oh, get real.
Yeah,
absolutely.
My mother was a nurse her whole life and talked to me. She's a very big feminist, has her PhD, and a strong feminist, raised four daughters. And I can remember her as a young person, you know, making little money, starched white cap, white stockings, being chased around by doctors. And, I mean, it just,
yeah,
give me a break. You're enjoying the life you have and the money you make because women fought for you.
Thank you very much for bringing up that point. It's so important. It has been wave after wave of strong women advocating that we are, in fact, independent, intelligent, whole beings that have souls. I mean, let's like start from square one. Sorry, Augustine, to break it to you, but we have souls. And that we move on from there, right? That we are, in fact, thinking adult beings with autonomy and lives. And it is wave after wave, generations of women who have made the gains to get us where we are at this time. And to see those gains being eroded quite actively by sections of the Christian right, actually by religious extremism of really all of the big three monotheists, and the arch conservative, you know, bedfellows. It's a chilling time, and to me, The Handmaid's Tale now more than ever. If you haven't read it yet,
Margaret Atwood,
go ahead and read it.
She's good.
It wasn't supposed to be a blueprint, kind of like 1984. Not a blueprint. It was a warning. It was an allegory. Important to check it out because you can sort of see the, steady slope, and we are sliding down it.
And, you know, I go through that every time it's time to vote, and I just do it. I bemoan our choices, but there were women who died, so I could do that. It just seems rather...
Yeah, but Mother Jones wasn't one of them. You know, she was not a suffragist. We could talk about this from
time.
Mother Jones said that it would actually only better the bourgeoisie.
For women to vote?
Mm-hmm. Because we're not actually engaged in the actual choices of our lives.
Oh, right? Okay, so I can do this guilt-free now?
Yeah, I like Mother Jones. Anyway, that's a whole nother show, though.
Okay.
Voting or not voting, whole nother show. We'll do that one later. The other news that popped up and struck me this week, man, all of these articles came out last Tuesday. I don't know, Tuesday, it was a banner day for me banging my head into walls. It was the first day, really, that I was back in this country. I'm just like, what the hell is going on? CeeLo Green, right? Lynn, have you heard about this one?
No.
CeeLo Green, he's an entertainer. He's a singer. He's had a couple songs that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently he pleaded no contest to a rape charge and then began tweeting over the weekend about how, you know, he didn't rape anyone because he just slipped drugs into her drink and she wasn't conscious. According to CeeLo Green, rape is only possible when the victim is conscious so that she can remember the crime, because that's what rape is.
Sorry.
You know, again,
it left me speechless, which is not good for radio. I know.
But if, you know, we really do need a video component, because if people could have seen the color drain from your face as your eyes kind of shot those lasers there for a moment, that was impressive, Lynn.
Thank you.
Last week, CeeLo Green was sentenced to 3 years of probation, right? He's got no time. Sentenced to 3 years of probation on drug charges after he was accused of secretly slipping ecstasy into a 33-year-old woman's drink. Following the message, the singer took to Twitter to defend himself. He tweeted, "People who have really been raped remember it," he wrote. If someone is passed out, they're not even with you consciously, so with implies consent, he added in a second tweet, which I have to say doesn't even make sense. Green, who is known for songs that I can't say on the radio, later deleted his Twitter account, saying that he would not allow the negative energy to loiter in his timeline, so he's going to delete. But, you know, a few days later, he did get a Twitter account back.
Oh, that's cool.
And he started off his re-energized Twitter account by saying, "Let me first praise God for exoneration and fairness and freedom. Secondly, I sincerely apologize for my comments being taken out of context." Yeah, right. Okay. There we have it. So, looking at rape culture, looking at what men believe consent is, actually looking at what some young women believe consent is, there's a lot of scary things happening in how we are teaching young people to behave around consent. What means yes? What means no? How to be clear? It's, again, we're backwards. We're going back about 40 years, and we're going back fast.
Well, and you know, and why did we think that just because some changes were made in the 60s and 70s and, well, that last century, that folks, that would just, all right, we're done, let's move on to the next thing. These things tend to go in a pendulum-like fashion. And I'm not approving that things are going backward, but when you think about it, of course, it takes a long time to wipe out a couple thousand years of
acculturation.
I've been really listening to this woman, a great woman, Mary Beard. I don't know if you're familiar with her or not.
Oh,
she's
yes.
She's a classicist, and she talked about she's wonderful. But she gave a talk called "Oh Shut Up, Dear," and it was about how women from Roman times also. I mean, of course, they couldn't even own property unless, of course, you didn't have sex and you were a Vestal virgin, which seems like a good trade-off at that particular time in Roman times.
Vestal virgins had sex. Okay.
Of course they did. They just didn't get caught, right? Unless they got caught, they were killed. Yeah.
Okay. That's another show.
Oh, no.
We'll chalk these all up for later programs.
However, I do have good news.
What's your good news?
Do we have callers waiting? I didn't check.
We do.
Well, we'll go to the callers and then I'll do good news.
Laive, you're on the air.
Very interesting. I'm back here visiting my kids here in Portland. I was just grateful to enjoy what you're doing here on KBOO this morning and all of KBOO's programming. I miss it over in Sedona.
Uh-huh.
You can get us on KBOO.fm.
Yes.
Just to let you know, you can always be listening to us.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The point I wanted to bring up is, you know, you're bringing up some very valid situations. But what we have to remember that everybody is operating in their consciousness from an attitude of what works for them. So I guess the way to say it is basically the basis of this world is love. And in your comments, there has been some sarcasm there. And what we have to remember is that we're here. We're in the situation we're in because of separation. And if we let go of that separation energy and focus on an energy that's unifying and keep compassion high on our list of things to look for in people, we're going to promote this healing much quicker.
I'm interested in what you're saying, actually, because I do think that love is the strongest force in the universe. I do believe that compassion is the only way through. I think that having compassion for ourselves and each other is of huge importance, primary importance, really. And what? How do we use compassion, use love, and move forward in the fact that not interested in separating. Okay, we are all here together. We are all in this together. What's good for, you know, one is, you know, what's good for the whole is good for us all. And yet, when I have some folks who are saying that feminism is taking us back to the Stone Age and sexualizing women, making women afraid to be what God, their God, not mine, has intended for us to be. Their interpretations of divinity, perhaps, because again, all gods, one God. Okay, fine, sure. when we have CeeLo Green, a famous entertainer, defending drink spiking, saying that you can knock a girl out and have sex with her and that's not rape because she doesn't remember it. What do you do with that?
Well, a good place to be with that is, why is he that way?
Well, yeah, it's a dang good question, isn't it?
In the meantime, though,
how do we stop the rapes?
Well, he doesn't have a clear understanding of what love is. He doesn't have a clear understanding of what compassion is. And that's one of the things that has happened in our culture, is we've gone down to a culture of violence and this kind of a thought form. And if we, in our own hearts, I guess a capsule on this all is, everything in this universe is of energy, and it's all, you know, frequencies of energy. And if we can maintain that higher frequency, they've proven scientifically that and you've maybe heard of some of these experiments that they did with meditation, where they went to Washington D.C. and they went to Iraq and meditators.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All for that. In the meantime, you can have higher frequency. It's very important to be grounded in the earth, however. And one of those things the man needs to stop raping. Well, that's a physical thing that needs to happen, an actual physical thing that has nothing, that may have to do with energy. I'm a big supporter of energy, however, not of rape.
Well, one of the things that can be done is...
Or people working with energy, let me say.
A couple of the things, you know, in terms of activism goes, it goes back to that thing about grassroots movements, and it goes back to the stuff about, who are your... who's in charge of your community? Are you letting this this government that is actually not a government, it's a series of interlocking corporations that are controlling us? You know, and as we take an active role on the local level and make the local people accountable and get involved with state politics and federal politics, not in an active way, in a voting way. I mean, that's one way people can go. Another way. For people to go is to learn of these laws. I mean, I've become a student of law, and the stuff that gets put in our books is like totally insane. And even legislators, they don't have time to read the laws that they pass. I read an article the other day that somebody put out that it would take a whole lifetime to read all the laws that are currently in effect.
I'm sure.
You got to start it again the next year because they, back from squat one because they put all these other new laws in. So, what happens on a legal level? As an example, I was involved.
You know what? I really appreciate your call, but we have a bunch of other callers, and we want to have time for them because the hour is running out. But thank you so very much for your comments this morning.
And you had.
I have things to tell you. I have things because we are on KBOO and coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 a.m., APA Compass introduces us to the new Jade District Night Market. Oh, I've been wanting to go down there. And the collective says goodbye to member Andrew Yeh, with highlights of some of his interviews, which were great. And at 10 o'clock, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints looks at the FBI's terrorist watch list and the U.S. government's admission that more than 40% of the persons on the list have no recognized terrorist affiliation. Way more than 40, I'm betting. At 11 o'clock, Shahid Hamid hosts It Takes a Village with a focus on Ferguson and police killings. At 11:30, we'll get a preview of the upcoming Justice Begins and Seeds Conference, Justice Begins with Seeds Conference, excuse me, and film series with organizer Miguel Robles and one of the speakers, environmental and native land rights lawyer Clary Hope Cummings. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support of KBOO. Not a current member, you can remedy that today by going onto kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. And you are listening right now to Positively Revolting Talk Radio. I'm Lynn. I'm here with Ani. And we're talking war and women this morning.
That's right.
Yes, we are.
And we have a lot of people to talk to.
Yes, we do.
503-231-8187, the number to call. You can probably still sneak in under the wire if you give us a call right about now. You can also comment on our Facebook page, where you'll find us as Positively Revolting. Please like us on our Facebook page. We need to grow our happy little Facebook community. I've also just posted the Politichicks article that I was reading earlier to that page. You can also find the article about the cops swarming the high school in event of miscarriage. Which I do have to say, there's a follow-up article that said that apparently the woman who had the miscarriage eventually was found. There's no charges and no wrongdoing on anyone's behalf, and you know, everyone's getting counseling or something like that. That's, you know, it's nice. But still, you got like freaking swarms of cops, helicopter cops.
Panic.
Yay.
Someone hit the panic.
Anyway, John. Good morning, John. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Mine's a little bit opposite of compassion. Politics. If more women were into politics, maybe some things wouldn't be happening. For example, look in Northern Europe. Your old Nordic countries, Germany, they have women prime ministers. You have, with the exception of some Islam countries, Bhutto, Pakistan, Gandhi, India, which is Hindi.
Yeah.
Golda Meir.
Margaret Thatcher. Oh, Madeleine Albright.
Hillary Clinton. We're not getting...
No, Hillary Clinton. Now,
see,
there's something really hot there. If she does run in 16, I have a feeling there's going to be some horrible things happening. Can you imagine on Fox News the B word and the C word will come out?
Well, there's still FCC law. I really think that, you know, I used to agree. 20 years ago when I started this show, I think I was loudly advocating much the same thing, that, you know, if we wanted to see a change in the world, we needed women in leadership positions to bring on the change, because we were more apt to think with our whole selves, that we were more apt to think in a way of that embodied stewardship and thinking about future generations. And we were more apt to care deeply about the environment. We were more apt to care about human rights and dignity. And then I have been completely disillusioned after watching woman after woman in leadership positions basically race to the bottom. And, you know, you look at the examples of Madeleine Albright saying a million Iraqi children's lives are worth it in the advancement of imperialism. That you see Thatcher, you see Clinton and her murderous policies of imperialist warfare. We saw
Golda.
So
the list goes on.
Many. Elizabeth, what's her face? She was a fabulous, fabulous congresswoman from Washington, put in on a peace platform. Elizabeth, oh God, I can't remember her last name. Oh, 20 years ago. I was so excited about her. She was a good anti-nuclear community activist, from the area, you know, and she's elected And within a couple years, she's all manner of hellfire and brimstone and bring more cops on the streets for safety. It just goes on and on. And I have to say, I can't get behind that anymore.
I think what my friend Ani is trying to say here is that it is inherent in the system, not women being in part of the system will not necessarily make it better.
It's the system that's
it's
broken.
It's the system itself.
Hmm. Well, I guess I was making, comparisons with different cultures.
You know,
like in Sweden and Denmark, you know, they have almost equality in, you know, like a lot of positions and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But... You know, America's not Scandinavia.
It's true.
Not even in Minnesota, really.
Yeah. Well, I understand your
Though
point.
I did just read the article about half of the Vikings that have been found.
Yeah.
They've just done some more tests
and
have realized that they're women.
They're warriors.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's some Scandinavian news for you.
Oh, that's always like that in there.
Yeah. Well, I...
Well,
I
thank you for your call, though, John.
I just thought there would be more empathy, you know, a lady getting into Congress or something, that she would be more sensitive to women's
rights.
But to be
part of that, there's certain things you have to cave for. I mean, not one senator voted against supporting Israel as it...
True.
Genocided Palestine
true,
with
true.
People that know better than that. It's political suicide to vote against AIPAC. So, yeah, that's just sort of how I look at that. But thank you very much for calling and chiming in, John.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
All right. Good morning. You are listening to KABU, your very own community radio station. This is Positively Revolting. We are Ani.
And Lynn.
And you can get a hold of us at 503-231-8187. We are talking about the war on women. We are talking about looking at how we have slid so far back in really just the last few years in these advancements that, you know, it's a one step forward, two steps back, three steps forward, five steps back. You know, it's a little dance that we're doing. And right now I'm not liking the trend.
No, the big trend is bad. In New York, however, things are kind of shaping up. They have this mayor in New York City that wants to do things like have kids be able to go pre-K to school. And there is a wonderful place in Jamaica called Choices Women's Medical Center in Jamaica, New York. And they've been around for some time. The woman that runs it, anyway, they are a full, they women can get abortions on Medicaid. It's a full-service salon, as they say. They say they counsel people. If they decide they don't want an abortion, then they also have prenatal care. They have whatever women need. So there's a place where it's happening. Choices Women's Medical Center in Jamaica, New York.
Hmm.
Thank you.
Go fig.
Yeah.
I do believe we have Patrick.
We do.
On the line. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning to you folks. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to plug a book. I read, now it's been 35 years since I read it, but it's just a marvelous, beautifully written book by Andrea Dworkin called Right Wing Women, and it really explains clearly where this phenomenon comes from of, you know, educated, intelligent-looking women taking the side of the patriarchy, and it's fascinating, and it's beautifully written. It's so easy to read. And anyway, so that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks very much for that.
You betcha. Bye.
Uh-huh.
It reminds me of the syndrome of prisoners and guards.
Hmm. Tell us more, Lynn.
Well,
Go ahead.
It was a Stanford study where some folks were prisoners, some folks were guards, and the prisoners became, or it happens in prisons where people fall in love with their guards or are...
Stockholm Syndrome.
The Stockholm Syndrome, that's it. After all that talk about Sweden, it seems hard to call it that, but it's the Stockholm Syndrome. That's what it seems like a little bit to me.
It's a bit like that. There's so much going on. We have LJ on the line. Good morning, LJ. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, LJ.
Hey, welcome back.
Thanks.
I hope you had a great vacation. I want you to know that Joe did a great job in trying to fill your shoes. So anyway, just a couple of quick points, Ani and Lynn. The situation that women in the military find themselves in, women who are afraid to go to the latrine at night because they're afraid they're going to get raped. Women who have to actually carry their sidearms with them if they venture out in the evening, and the military's approach to the problem is it has to go through the chain of command, right? And it's often the woman who is vilified, and not her rapist.
Right.
And then the situation that women on college campuses find themselves in.
Right.
I heard a very interesting story about a woman who was raped in some college back east, who now, as a protest, carries a mattress around with her.
Yeah, that was actually another article I was going to mention. I'm glad you brought that up.
Right, and then there was that woman several months ago who was in a very abusive relationship, and she had a restraining order against her husband, and she fired a warning shot that hit the wall. And then they're going to sentence her to 20 years in jail.
Right.
Yeah, and that was in Florida, which in also, Florida? The place that let I'm forgetting his name, which is really good. What's his face off that?
Zimmerman.
Zimmerman, thank you.
Right.
Right.
Stand his ground. So Zimmerman, who can come.
Same prosecutor.
Right. So Zimmerman, who can get away with murder by killing Trayvon Martin, on one hand, and on the other hand, a woman who's simply trying to defend herself draws 20 years. And I'll take my responses off the air, and great having you guys back.
Thanks. It's great to be
back. Have a good
day. Thanks. It's Columbia University where the student... she's an art major, and this is actually now turning into a performance piece that will be her senior thesis. Columbia University senior Emma Sulkowitz has taken her experience of attending college with her rapist and has turned it into her senior thesis project. This is an article on Jezebel. She talks about basically... that she's carrying her mattress around to all of her classes. She's carrying it with her all day long, as long as she is forced to be in the same university as her rapist. She talks about how the mattress is the size that she can just carry it. Let me look for this little quote. Oh, gosh, it's just going to take me a second. That she can just carry it, that it is a burden, but she can actually get it around. And at the same time, it is heavy enough that it is truly cumbersome, right? Mm-hmm. That the weight of it does make it difficult to get through the day. And to me... You know, as somebody who's experienced rape and who has tried to just sort of get through, you know, that really struck me. The quote is, "A mattress is the perfect size for me to just be able to carry it enough that I can continue with my day. But it is also just heavy enough that I have to continually struggle with it." And in those first few weeks, months, after trying to integrate the experience of being raped and having your rapist in your daily life, that seemed like about the most fitting analogy I could imagine. That it's, you know, you're going on with things, you're getting through it, you have to, and yet it is so incredibly burdensome that it does actually take most of your attention, whether you want it to or not. I find her very courageous. Emma Sulkowitz.
Art saves lives, I tell you.
Look for her. We are out of time.
We are out of time.
As it turns out.
I want to let people know that next week is Candidate Forum Week on Morning Talk Radio. From Monday through Friday, we will, all of us talk radio host. We'll be interviewing various candidates. Listen, check out episode pages. You'll find out who, but listen to all of them. I recommend listening to all of them. If you don't get to, you can, they will be up on the website, because be an informed voter on this our KBOO 2014 board candidate elections.
It always helps.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we're out.
And happy birthday, Kristen, our engineer. It was yesterday, but happy birthday. And
happy birthday, Kristen. Happy birthday, Ulrich. Happy birthday, all you little Virgos everywhere.
They're so cute.
There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.